the Epistle of Blessed Paul. Brethren, thanking God our Father for making us fit to share the light which saints inherit, for rescuing us from the power of darkness and transferring us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In the Son of God, in his blood, we find the redemption that sets us free from our sins. He is the true likeness of the God we cannot see. He is his at first birth, which precedes every act of creation. Yes, in him all created things took their being, heavenly and earthly, visible and invisible. What are thrones and dominions? What are princedoms and powers? They were all created through him and in him. He takes precedency of all, and in him all subsist. He too is that head whose body is the church. It begins with him, since his was the first birth out of death. Thus, in every way, the primacy was to become his. It was God's good pleasure to let all completeness dwell in him, and through him to win back all things, whether on earth or in heaven, into union with himself, making peace with them through his blood shed on the cross. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, or St. John. At that time, Pilate went back into the palace and summoned Jesus. "Art thou the king of the Jews?" he asked. "Dost thou say this of thy own accord?" Jesus answered. "Or is it what others have told thee of me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? It is thy own nation and its chief priests who have given thee up to me. What offense hast thou committed?" "My kingdom," said Jesus, "does not belong to this world. If my kingdom were one which belonged to this world, my servants would be fighting to prevent my falling into the hands of the Jews. But no, my kingdom does not take its origin here." "Thou art a king then," Pilate answered. And Jesus answered, "It is thine own lips that have called me a king. What I was born for, what I came into the world for, is to bear witness of the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth listens to my voice." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember that November 1st is a holy day of obligation. Vigil Mass will be in the ordinary form, the usual time Monday at 6, and then Tuesday at 6:30 in the evening we will have a low Mass for the holy day. We come to celebrate the Feast of Christ the King, which has a different connotation in the traditional mindset than it does in the modern mindset. Even the change of the notion, calling it for the end of ordinary time the King of the Universe, is a different theology than what was originally intended by making this a feast in 1925. It is about a meditation on the reality of the true nature of Christ, and it is about making Christ the King by virtue of his conquest of sin and death and by virtue of the hypostatic union. That is to say, the reality of he is God made man, and the personhood, the manhood, is applied to the second person of the Holy Trinity, not to the first or the third. And so he is God and man, and by virtue of being God, he is already what he is, God. So therefore, to underscore, as the fathers had done long before this feast was made, the kingship of Christ being a reality by virtue of his submission, his obedient will to God the Father in his humanity alongside his divinity, and that perfect balance between his divine will and his human will. But we hear our Lord speaking of the reality of his kingdom, and certainly we know the great might and the great origin of this kingship, first and foremost, by virtue of what St. Paul teaches us, that all things were created through him. Everything has its origin in the Word. And the Word made flesh, then, it's appropriate that the Church acknowledges this reality, this the Christ coming into the world and saving us from the dominion of the devil by his ultimate sacrifice. An imperative to acknowledge this kingship, then, in his humanity, which is already established by virtue of his sharing of the Godhead and his divinity. What does it mean for us? It means the same thing what Jesus tells Pilate, which is oft forgotten by us. How easy it is for us to recognize the shortcomings that we see in many in the church today who believe that social justice is all that it is about, that there is no life after death. Materialism reigns supreme in the church, and therefore people think that meeting the material needs of the poor is heaven, which of course it is not. This is consigning the poor to the misery that the rich already have. When you look at the statistics for what people consider poverty today, it's not what it used to be. It's not a matter of thinking of no food, but now it's a matter of thinking of they don't have good enough food. It's not a matter of thinking in the general terms of poor housing, but it's a matter of thinking their housing is not good enough. They don't have the plasma TV. They don't have the magic devil phone. They don't have the luxuries. We've gone far away from necessities, and poverty is now established by virtue of a lack of luxury. And therefore, as our monstrous government goes larger and larger, because Americans are becoming more stupid by virtue of entertaining themselves to death, we see the reality of now the state taking over and many people even worshiping the state, even within the church, with the conviction that the state will solve all the problems and those in the church will sit back and simply participate in that collection of money that is oft distributed to the higher levels of the church. This is what happens when we begin to believe what Jesus said was not true, that when Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," many have rejected that and believe that his kingdom is in this world. And that could be the same for those who also try to live their faith in a sincere way, but they too have been caught up in establishing the kingship of Christ by virtue of translating all they owe him into their efforts to make life ideal in this world, or to make life secure in this world, or to simply take care of themselves in this world. Not being careful enough to detach themselves from all the pitfalls, all the snares of the devil that are in the world today to prevent us from seeing the truth. Indeed, the Christ says that his is ultimately a kingdom of truth, and those who hear his voice are the ones who know the truth and follow him. And so therefore, we must keep our eyes set on the reality of heaven, but also on the reality of our fallen state and the fact that God has given us life and we exist in the context of this fallen world, not to reject the world in the sense that we just sit back like the quietists or others and expect God to do everything, but instead we go forward in this world, and you especially as a laity go forward into it to transform it for Christ the King, to Christ the King, making of it an offering to our Lord, but knowing full well that you can only influence the corners in which God has placed you. Yours is not the mission to be the Messiah. Yours is to show others the Messiah, to show the kingdom of Christ, which is based in all truth. It is no coincidence that many people in our world today live in the so-called virtual world, which is a false world. It is no coincidence that we now have people renaming themselves animal, vegetable, or mineral just because they believe their truth is truth. The darkness is prevailing because those who are representatives of the kingdom of light are refusing to let the light shine before men. Perhaps too sheepish, perhaps too busy, or in many cases in the church, so caught up in social justice that the light of Christ is not meant to shine because it might offend the person you're carrying into their home the new plasma TV that they didn't pay for. We must be mindful of ourselves in this decadent world. But it is not a matter of hiding from this world, but it is a matter of existing in this world. And I'm firmly convinced in the reality of what we've seen in the history of the church, that holy monasteries always radiated the graces out by virtue of what God gave them. And therefore, the Catholic laity can do the same by virtue of actually living the Catholic life in their home. The graces would radiate out so that others would begin to see the truth. The truth that can be seen by Catholic families that are living it. The Catholic families that are not living it in a way that is conducive to the world and even the social justice notion that everyone is supposed to be scattered about doing works of charity and falling into the old trap of the heresy of works, but instead actually living Catholic lives, lives of true charity, lives of true faith, lives of true hope. And therefore, because of those theological virtues, their lives that are referenced from God and directed towards God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, after the Holy Sacrifice, before the Blessed Sacrament exposed, we will pray the prayer, the consecration of the human race to Christ the King. Pay attention to what that prayer you are praying will say. Copies of the prayers were at the entrance of the church there on the table if you didn't get one. But be mindful of those words because it establishes what the kingship of Christ is about. It establishes what we are supposed to be doing. And this is the true version of the prayer from the Rakulta, not the cleaned up version of even 1962. Because ultimately this one prays for not only the Jews, but also for light to come to the Mohammedans and even pagans that are left. And there are now more pagans in the world than there were when this prayer was established in the 1920s. But let us be mindful of the mission we have in going to Christ first, not solving the problems ourselves and coming up with our own theories and executions, but praying to Christ the King first and being as what we are supposed to be, as what we men in particular are supposed to be, soldiers for Christ who are indeed waiting for the King to give us our orders, to tell us what we are actually supposed to do in this world, so that we do not fall into the trap of isolation or fall into the trap of the quietists or fall into other traps such as social justice, but we actually, instead of telling Christ the King what he's supposed to be doing, we dispose ourselves to being told by Christ the King what we are supposed to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.